This article is brought to you by the best-selling booksy Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. Passive voice versus active voice. Why the words leaders use determine whether teams follow or hesitate. The sentence structure you choose signals whether you lead or merely manage. In short, active voice and passive voice are not grammar lessons for leaders. They are signals. The structure you choose tells your team who owns the action, who is accountable, and whether you are leading or hiding behind language. Active voice names the actor clearly. It creates accountability, urgency, and direction. Passive voice removes the actor. It can protect dignity and shift focus, but overused, it breeds uncertainty. Strong leaders choose deliberately between the two, never by accident. Definition: active voice leadership is the practice of constructing communication so the leader or team is clearly identified as the one taking action. Passive voice reverses that structure, placing the result first and obscuring or omitting who's responsible. Both serve a purpose. Neither should be used by default. Why the words you choose either build or undermine your authority. I watched a manager lose his team's confidence in a single all-hands meeting. He had not lied. He had not shouted. He had said, perfectly calmly, a decision has been reached regarding the restructure. No name. No ownership. No I decided or we agreed. The words floated in the air and landed nowhere. By the next morning, three people had come to me separately asking who actually made the call and whether their jobs were safe. The passive voice did not protect anyone. It created a vacuum, and people filled that vacuum with fear. This is the quiet danger at the center of leadership language. Active voice and passive voice are not just grammatical options. They are signals your team reads constantly to assess whether you own your decisions or whether you are distancing yourself from them. Understanding the difference and choosing between them with purpose is one of the most practical communication tools a leader carries. What active voice looks like when leadership depends on it. In an active sentence, the subject acts. I approved the budget. We cancelled the project. Sarah leads the initiative. The person responsible is named, and they are doing something. The sentence moves forward. For leaders, this matters beyond grammar. When you consistently name the actor, you make accountability visible. Your team knows who decided, who is driving the work, and who they should come to with questions. That clarity is not just useful, it is a form of respect. You are treating people as adults who deserve to know how decisions are made. Active voice also creates urgency. The team will present findings Friday carries more weight than findings will be presented Friday. The first sentence has people in it. People can be held to things. Timelines attached to named individuals become commitments rather than aspirations. If you want your team to move with purpose, your language needs to model that same forward motion. There is a confidence required to speak this way, and it is worth developing. When you say I made this call, you invite scrutiny, questions, and occasionally pushback. That is not a weakness. That is leadership. What passive voice is actually doing in a leader's mouth? Passive voice places the result before the actor or removes the actor entirely. The report was not submitted. Changes will be implemented. Feedback has been noted. Something happened, but the sentence refuses to say who made it happen. This is not always evasion. Sometimes passive voice is the right tool. In formal written communications, it carries a tone of institutional weight. In sensitive situations, it can protect a person's dignity by keeping the focus on a process rather than a mistake. When you need to announce a difficult outcome without turning it into public naming a fault, passive voice gives you the distance with grace. The problem is habit. Many leaders drift into passive voice not because they have chosen it for a reason, but because it feels safer. It keeps them out of the crossfire. It softens the edges of decisions they are not fully comfortable owning. And their team sense it, even if they cannot name what they are sensing. Overused, passive voice breeds the kind of hesitation I saw in that room after the restructure announcement. People stop knowing who to trust because they stop knowing who is actually in charge. Side by side, how the two voices perform across key situations. Dimension: active voice, passive voice. Accountability names who is responsible, clearly removes or obscures the responsible party. Urgency creates forward momentum, can flatten energy, and create distance. Appropriate tone decisions, instructions, feedback, vision policy, formal announcements, sensitive errors. Effect on team trust builds confidence, and clarity builds uncertainty if overused. Risk of misuse can feel blunt or exposed if poorly timed, can feel evasive or weak if habitual. Written versus spoken, stronger in spoken leadership, and emails more natural in formal documents. Readers' response knows who to follow up with often asks, but who actually decided this? The table captures the practical split. What it cannot show is how the two voices interact inside a single conversation. Most real leadership communication is not purely one or the other, it moves between them. A strong leader might open with active voice to claim ownership of a decision, then shift to passive when acknowledging a team error, protecting individuals while still addressing the issue. That movement is deliberate. It is a skill. The narrative behind the table is this active voice carries energy, and energy is contagious. When you speak in active constructions, your team hears a person who knows what they want and is prepared to stand behind it. Passive voice, used thoughtfully, can provide the space for a difficult truth to land without crushing someone. The goal is not to eliminate one in favour of the other. The goal is to stop using either one by accident. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling books they write every time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Where the two overlap and why that grey area matters. Here is the truth of it. The most experienced communicators I have known blur this line with intention. They use active voice for accountability and passive voice for empathy. Often in the same breath. I made the decision to restructure the team. Some roles were affected, and I know that is difficult to hear. The first sentence owns the action. The second protects individuals by keeping the focus on outcomes, not fault. This overlap is where leadership communication becomes genuinely sophisticated. It is also where people confuse the two concepts most often. The question worth asking is not which voice is correct, but who do I need to protect, and who needs to be named? If you can answer that before you open your mouth, you will choose the right construction. How to handle conflict during meetings is one place where this overlap becomes critical, because naming fault and preserving dignity often need to happen in the same sentence. Three ways leaders get this wrong. The mistake. Using passive voice to avoid saying I decided. Why it happens. Decisions feel safer when they appear to come from nowhere in particular. There is no one to blame if there is no one named. What to do instead? Own the decision with active voice, even when it is unpopular. I made this call, and here is my reasoning is far more credible than a direction has been chosen. The mistake. Using active voice aggressively when a team member has made an error. Why it happens. Directness feels honest, and we conflate honesty with accountability. But naming someone's mistake publicly in active, blunt terms damages trust and shuts down learning. What to do instead? Shift to passive voice for the error and active voice for the repair. A step was missed in the process addresses the issue. I need you to lead the correction restores agency. For more on the mechanics of this, how to give feedback using the SBVI method is a useful frame. A mistake. Treating passive voice as inherently weak and active voice as inherently strong. Why it happens. Coaching around leadership language tends to be blunt. Be direct. Use active voice. Own your words. That advice is right most of the time, but it flattens the genuine usefulness of passive constructions in the right moment. What to do instead? Judge by intent, not by grammar. If you are using passive voice to give a process its proper weight or to protect a person's dignity, that is precision. If you are using it to disappear from a difficult conversation, that is deflection. You will know which one you are doing. Situations where each voice does its best work. Active voice earns its place in four specific leadership contexts. First, when you are directing action. Nadja will present the client report Thursday. Second, when you are owning a decision. I moved the deadline because the brief changed. Third, when you are giving feedback that requires a named outcome. You handled that escalation well, and I want you to take the lead on the next one. Fourth, when you are building urgency around a shared goal. Passive voice earns its place in a different set of moments. When announcing a process decision that affects many people and naming individuals would be unfair or premature, the new shift structure will be phased in over 6 weeks. When acknowledging an organizational failure where blame would be counterproductive, a communication breakdown occurred, and we are addressing it. When writing formal policy or institutional documents where impersonal tone is appropriate and expected, advanced feedback techniques for high-stakes conversations explores in detail how tone and structure interact in pressured moments. It is worth reading alongside this piece, because feedback is one of the few leadership contexts where your choice of voice can either open a person up or shut them down entirely. Similarly, how to de-escalate arguments during meetings touches on the structural choices that keep heat from becoming damage. For leaders developing their broader communication system, the Strom method for building synergy through conversation offers a framework to connect sentence-level choices to team-wide outcomes. And if you sometimes struggle with dominant voices taking over a discussion, voice structure plays a larger role there than most people realize. Practical ways to build the habit of deliberate voice choice. Start with your written communication, because it gives you time to see what you have done before anyone else does. Take your last 5 emails and read them, looking for sentences where no person is doing anything. The timeline has been pushed back. Approval is needed. Changes have been requested. Those sentences all pass responsibility into the air. Write each one with a named subject who pushed the timeline, who needs to give approval, who requested the changes. Then take one sentence from that exercise, the most uncomfortable one to rewrite, and ask yourself why it is uncomfortable. The answer will tell you something important about where your communication habits are protecting you rather than serving your team. For those who want a more structured approach, Scripts for Giving Upward Feedback offers concrete examples of how named, active constructions land in real conversations, including ones where the power dynamic is working against you. The choice that defines how your team reads you. In my decades of working with leaders at every level, I have never met one who deliberately chose to be unclear. The passive voice creeps in. It happens when the decision was hard, when the news is unwelcome, when you are not fully sure you made the right call. The language softens the edges, because some part of you wants the edges softened. That instinct is human. But your team reads those soft edges. They read the missing subject and the floating result, and they draw their own conclusions. Most of those conclusions are less generous than the truth. Active voice leadership is not about being hard or blunt. It is about being present in your own sentences. It is about putting your name next to your decisions, your direction next to your team's effort, and your confidence into the structure of every message you send. Do that with consistency, and your team will stop hesitating. They will know who is leading, and they will follow. Frequently asked questions. What is active voice leadership? Active voice leadership means using sentence structures where the leader or team is clearly identified as the one taking action. It produces direct, accountable communication. I made this decision rather than this decision was made. It builds trust by removing ambiguity about who owns the outcome. When should a leader use passive voice instead of active? Passive voice serves leaders well when the focus needs to stay on a process, a result, or an error rather than on blaming a person. It softens difficult news, protects dignity in sensitive situations, and keeps a team focused on solutions rather than assigning fault. How does passive voice affect team performance? Overusing passive voice creates ambiguity about responsibility, which slows teams down. When no one is clearly named as the owner of an action, accountability diffuses. Teams begin to hesitate because they cannot tell who decides, who acts, and who is responsible for outcomes. Can passive voice ever sound authoritative in leadership communication? Yes, passive voice used deliberately in formal announcements, written policy, or sensitive situations can carry weight and impartiality. The problem arises when leaders use it habitually as a way to avoid ownership, which erodes credibility over time. What is the difference between passive voice and weak language in leadership? Passive voice is a grammatical structure. Weak language is a broader pattern that includes hedging, vague promises, and lack of commitment. They often appear together, but a leader can write in passive voice with precision and still sound firm, or use active voice and still sound uncertain. How can a leader shift from passive to active voice in daily communication? Start by reading your emails and meeting notes before sending them. Find every sentence where the subject is missing or acted upon, then rewrite it with the named person doing the action. Practice this for 1 week, and the habit will begin to replace itself naturally. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonbookforum.com to get your copy.